One of the ways the Buddha describes this mental activity, sometimes it's called the proliferation, papancha, P-A-P-A-N-C-A, papancha, proliferation, is fabrication. And that's kind of slightly harsh, but it's actually really true. Because all those thoughts you're having, all those little strategies you're making, all the little things you're doing, complaining and whining and fixing and all of it, it's all made up. It's actually not very substantial. It's substantial in your head only. But it's not actually substantial at all. You could be doing another thing, and that would seem important. And something the opposite, and that would seem important. None of them, when you think of that, are really that substantial. We're making it all up. But we're so enchanted with our minds making it all up that we're believing in it, and we're caught by these thoughts. They become real in our heads. And they're just thoughts. And if they're thoughts about yourself, and they become real in your head, then you really are a loser, or too thin, or something like that, whatever the story you tell about yourself, or another person. They're just thoughts, but we believe them. That particular tribe doesn't stay alive, is what I'm saying right now in some parts of the world. And yet it's fabricated. Yeah. So we're asked in this whole idea of relinquishing or letting go, to let go of fabrications in the mind. To let go of doing that. To not keep doing that with belief. Not just to not do it, but to not believe in its value. The reason we do it is we believe in it. If we didn't believe in it, then we wouldn't worry. The mind would be going blah, 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 having little thoughts, and it wouldn't bother us. It wouldn't compel us. But the reason we get sucked into it is because we believe in it. It's strong for us. It's powerful. So as we do meditate, those of you who know, we've been practicing for a long time, the thoughts, the ideas, and you know, all the conversation and the narrative that goes on in your head gets less. It goes on, but it's not so loud, and it's not so heavy duty, and it's not so gripping, and it's more la 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 probably another ridiculous thought. And then some of them get very loud, and then they really, you know, oppress us, and then they recede and they get light within again. Not just believing in them, we're asked to not keep believing in them, but we're also asked to not act them out. So if you know, if you believe in, you know, in something about somebody, we don't just believe it, we lean on it somehow. One of the words that I've used a lot is we invest in it. We don't just think that's the way it is. We lean heavily into that, and we invest in it being that way, in being right or being wrong, or being good or being bad, or, you know, we really put a lot of emphasis on it. They're not just thoughts which we believe. They're powerful thoughts, and they can be really dangerous thoughts when you think they're all fabricated. Extraordinary. What else are we asked to relinquish in this practice? In this practicing, letting go. There's the whole thing of clinging, and I don't know how you are with the word clinging, but I had, you know, for a long time, it was another one of those words that I didn't quite understand and was confused about. And what do we mean anyway? Clinging is used a lot in the teachings of the Buddha, to abandon clinging, and clinging is the problem. And what does clinging actually mean? So what it means is that. It means in investing in what you're fabricating. So there's the thoughts, the ideas, the schemes, you know, the whatever it is, your plans and worries, whatever they may be, and you're investing in them. That's what it means by clinging. You're hooked in, you're leaning on, you're grabbed, you're oppressed by, you're entangled. This is what it's often used, lots of teachers use that word, to be entangled in your thoughts and your ideas, your needs or your fears. We get pulled in there, and then they're real, and then they matter a lot, and we put a lot of meaning there, and that runs us. That's what clinging means. Liking something, wanting something, or not liking something and not wanting it isn't clinging. It's when you get hooked in and caught up in all that, and it becomes real and oppressive and starts running things. Then that's clinging. We're asked to relinquish clinging. We're not asked not to think. We're asked not to, or the idea is to relinquish the belief in the thinking. The mind is going to think. It's a survival instrument. It's busy thinking. We don't have to take it so seriously. That's what we're asked to relinquish, not believe it so heavily. You can use it as an instrument, make your plans, go shopping, get what you need, you know, make your appointments. Use, of course, we're going to use it. But that's in, use it lightly and then put it down. Don't be run by the thing. So more recently, I've had another little image of this little survival mind, and it's become an executive assistant. So I have an EA, and she's a female, and funnily enough, and she's over to the right of me, and she's about two-thirds my height. So I can pat her on the head and sort of keep her down to size, you know. But she gets really busy. She's my, and she acts out in my head, telling me stories and saying, this is how it is, and you need this, and oh no, this is not okay, that. And when things are troublesome, she gets really overactive. And when things are okay and benign and calm, everything's okay, she goes really quiet. She goes way into the background because she doesn't have any job to do that. Right? And so we all have them, of course. It's just a different way of describing a little mind, your SOS little mind. But I can actually see her as this, and she steps up and she goes like, whoa, and she gets her fists there and she gets all busy. And I once knew somebody whose name was Elizabeth, and her nickname was Busy. And so my executive assistant's name is Busy. I think it's perfect for her. When she's really acting out, she's really busy. And when, you know, there's not much for her to do, she isn't busy, and so she recedes. She doesn't actually function quite a bit of the time. But as soon as there's something that needs to be handled, fixed, got, avoided, figured out, she's there doing it. That's her job. So. Busy. Biz, sometimes, for short. And so, how to have biz not run me? It's nice to have an assistant, but the trouble with biz is that she runs me. She doesn't just assist me, she decides what I'm supposed to do. She gets really bossy, and it's big for her boots completely. And so, what we're asked to do is relinquish being run by busy. So how do we do it? That's the thing. I mean, you know this makes sense, and you know this is a different way of describing, another way of describing why meditation is what we want to be doing, but how? Which is much more interesting than the theory, of course. Well. And in the teachings, you will, if you've heard any of this before, so a lot of you in this room know that one of the foundation ways the Buddha taught what he taught was through the Four Noble Truths, this very foundation teaching. The first truth, these are four truths that apply to everyone across the board all the time, unless you're completely free, awakened, full. When you're not in a moment of being fully awakened, then these apply. We are struggling in some form. There's stress or struggle going on in us. That's busy. She's stressed out, busy trying to make it better. That's that feeling of like, busyness. The reason it's happening, that she's doing her thing or we're doing that thing, is because we aren't okay with exactly how it is. We want to improve it, and we think we can improve it. We want something else, different, more, less, anything else than this. Because we want it to be different, and we think we can make it different, because we've become so good at our thinking and our planning and our surviving. Look, we've survived very well, too well, I think. Mm-hmm. You know, we're so good at that. We want to rearrange things somehow to suit more. We're feeling that feeling of stress all the time. I'm trying to fix it, fix it, fix it. That's the second. They go together in two truths. Feeling stressed, wanting it to be a little improvement. Three, the third truth is, we don't need to have one. We don't need to stress and struggle. We can just have ease and calm and peace and happiness and friendliness. But we have to stop wanting to make it different. If we stop wanting to make it different, we'll be fine. That's the third truth. We'll be free from all that stress. Freedom, peace. And the fourth truth is, you need to live in a certain way. You need to take care of eight aspects of your life. One is perceiving. I'll talk about that later. Two, there's three groups of things in these eight. Two is live with respect and care decently. Don't be, you know, causing disharmony in your life in all the ways that we we can, be careful how we speak and so on and so forth, and meditate. Train the mind. If you train the mind, live carefully, and perceive things in terms of these truths, for instance, then you will find increasingly you go from one and two to three. In the way the Buddha taught that, he said we need to abandon two. We need to relinquish two in order to get to three. What we want is three. We want peace, calm, freedom, ease, to be okay, to feel this is okay. We think we might want this or something fantastic, but really the deepest thing we want is a sense of complete contentment in this moment and no executive assistant having to do anything about anything. It's fine right now. We all know that feeling of it's fine right now. It's totally okay. But they don't last very long, those moments, and they're very quiet. So mostly engaged with, it's not fine and I've got to do something. Are you, it's just a question and you don't have to answer it, as you sit here right now, right this moment, is this it? Is this perfectly fine in your life right now? Have you reached some place where you can say, this is it, this is my life and it's perfectly fine? Or is there a little yes but, as soon as I get the done, it'll be better. Not quite there yet. The Buddha said we need to abandon that number two, that thinking, I've got to do something and then it'll be fine. Just around the next corner when I get the last third of the day down and I get my sorted out and my income tax sent in and then it's going to be fine. But not quite yet. We need to relinquish, that's the main thing, we need to relinquish that. It's a belief. It's an attitude, it's a habit. It's a way of perceiving and believing.